Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome to House New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're welcoming our special guest Paul Marino of Appraisal Concepts to tell us all about the appraisal process. And here's our host as always, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome everyone to House New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we are always talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. As you know, we're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, we have as our guest tonight Paul Marino. Paul Marino is the principal of Appraisal Concepts, an appraisal business set here in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And we're going to talk about appraisals, what they are, where they come from, who does them, and what it all means. So we want to welcome Paul Marino. Hello, Paul, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Howe. Good evening to you.
Yes, good evening to you also. Paul, let's take this, step by step. What is an appraisal, actually? What does it mean?
Okay. It's when someone asks for an appraisal, it's an estimate of the valuation of the specific property that we're asking to put a value on, whether it be residential or commercial.
And who gets, why would one want an appraisal or need an appraisal?
Well, that's different things. Number one that everybody probably would know the most is that when they're going to go for a mortgage, whether it be for the purchase of a piece of property, which is a home or commercial building, and or refinancing to take money out of the building or getting a better interest rate, that's the most significant that most of the people would probably know. In addition to that, unfortunately, when someone passes on, you need what they call an estate appraisal to estimate the value of the person's property as of the time of death. There are other appraisals that we do. Unfortunately, when people get divorced, there's a matrimonial appraisal. There's also a an appraisal we do with a partnership breakup. So there are several reasons why not that we do many different types of appraisals, and I would say they're really called valuations.
Gotcha. And why do you use the word valuation? Is there a special connotation?
Well, because if you think about it, we're creating a value. You know, an appraisal is really a value of the estimate of what your property might be worth on the open market.
And, Paul, tell us a little bit about who could be an appraiser. What sort of ground or training, licensing do you need in order to call yourself an appraiser?
Okay. Many years ago, probably 15 to 20 years ago, there was no official anyone could call themselves an appraiser. But what happened in the downturn in 1986, I believe it was, around that time, we had where the a lot of bankruptcies going on and a lot of the FTC from the government came in and had to buy up a lot of properties, and they said, hey, we can't have just anybody saying they're an appraiser and signed a piece of paper that this is the value. We need to put some sort of licensing into effect. So what happened is licensing came around, and with that came certain categories of appraisers. And what you had to do was to pass. It was not a problem for myself because I already had been in it, but what you would have to do is take courses, pass the courses, then take a test within your independent state and get either certified or become a licensed appraiser, depending upon what state you're in. And then there are appraisers who are certified to do residential, and there are people that are certified to do general, meaning commercial properties. Not every appraiser is licensed to do both types. I happen to have a general appraiser, which allows me to do residential, but some people just have a residential license. It has gotten more indicative of the trade in that now you need about 150 to 300 hours of education, and then you need an additional 2 years to work with someone as a trainee to get your first license to move forward.
And that's a lot of hours to spend. And how about continuing education?
Well, we're very similar to attorneys and real estate practitioners and a lot of even medical practitioners in that we need every 2 years we have to have 28 hours of education every 2 years. And our license is renewed every 2 years.
Okay. And Paul, you work for yourself or do you work for a company?
I work for myself. I'm the principal of my company. At one point, I had 6 employees. You know, now it's just me and a part-timer because I'm, you know, trying to not be as busy as I once was.
And are there larger companies? Are
I would say 50% of the appraisal firms, when you look up an appraiser, is a home person, meaning they're working from their home and they are, doing appraisals or valuations from their home office. And another 50%, I would say, work in an office environment with a company that could have from, 3 to 20 employees, depending upon what volume they're doing and who they're getting their work from and what type of work they're doing.
And you mentioned, the changes over the years. From 2007, 2008.
Right.
So you are no longer chosen directly. Explain that process.
Okay. Well, what happened is about 5 or 6 years ago when Governor Cuomo at that time, they decided that there was nepotism involved with a broker picking or a bank person picking out the appraiser and then having him do the evaluation of the property. So in that, they had them sign off that they would now have a third wheel, shall we say, pick out appraisers, and they would be in charge of reviewing them, and so the same person wouldn't be called all the time.
Paul, I've seen where appraisers come into, say, an area like Bay Ridge, and they're headquartered out in Long Island.
Right.
How important is local knowledge? Is it important?
Well, it's it is important because when they come in to do an appraisal or I go in to do an appraisal in an area that I'm unfamiliar with, which you're not supposed to do according to the thing, you're supposed to be familiar with the area, but many times because you're looking to, like everyone, make a living, you'll say, I'll take that job. But they really won't know little pockets that's why that house or building sold for more versus another pocket that it isn't, because you just can't be a know-it-all in 2 million houses in every borough.
Sure. But that doesn't really benefit the borrower who's trying to get a really correct. So they've done away with what they saw as an abuse of someone picking someone who they knew and was local, but they lost that reliability and that trustworthiness.
That's correct, Mr. Howe, yes.
In doing so, yes. And we've seen many examples of Long Island appraisers coming in to do maybe a Brooklyn co-op and really not appreciating this information.
And I've also had people that have come from New Jersey over two bridges to come and do something like this. But if you're licensed in the state, you can do that.
Paul, tell us a little bit now. What are the different methods of appraising, or are there different methods of appraising?
Well, yes, there are, because if you're talking about appraisal / valuation of a home, well, what we end up doing with that is basically looking around to see where somebody sold a house that's similar to yours in some shape or form, and we're supposed to, and we make a within a 1 mile radius look and see what's been selling. For instance, if it's a one family, two family. So what we will do is we do what we call on the comp sales, comparable sales analysis. So that takes the comparables that sold within the market area, which is supposed to be about within a mile, and we look and try to come up with some sales that are similar to the house that is the subject property. A commercial appraisal is different. It's based on two different approaches, which is the comparable sales, but it's also based on what we call an income approach, about how much rent the person is collecting.
Okay. Let's go back for a moment to the residential side. You said there was an area limit of a mile radius. Are there ever exceptions where you have to jump outside of that mile? Or are you allowed to jump outside that mile?
Yes, you can. What normally you would say is that, especially in a Brooklyn area or in Queens or even in Manhattan, there's enough houses within a 20-block radius of the subject property. If you put your finger on the center and go 20 blocks around that center, there should be something that's sold because of the number of homes that we have here. That would not be the same in a more rural area, but between us, sometimes because the house can be a very specific construction or of an unusual use or land size, you can go out of the 1 mile radius. They just would like you to give them people would like to see some sort of a house or home or subject property that's similar in some ways.
And how about, is there a time frame during which you could use these comps?
Well, traditionally, they would like to see it within a year, but more importantly of late, they really want to see if you have something within 6 months, because that's really going to tell the tale.
So you get an order to do a home appraisal. What is the first thing that you do, or do you just go out to the property?
Okay, when we get an order in, what we would do is we would get a runoff of the subject property, meaning we'd try to come up with an assessment record. So it would give us the property, the site, how much square footage it might have, what the building size might be, what the assessed valuation is, and give us some specifics. It's almost like being a doctor. So we get a little bit of the patient, and then we have to go out and see the patient, I tell people. So then we go out to the subject property and see how much of the information that is publicly available is correct. We measure the property by square footage, and then that's the first step.
So you arrive at the property. Well, let's jump back for a second. You'd mentioned the term assessed valuation.
Mm-hmm.
And I find my clients many times confuse that word that they see on their tax bill or a tax letter that they get once a year saying your assessed value has gone up, gone down, whatever. Is that the value? Is that an appraised value, or is it another number?
Unfortunately, we come under rules both from New York State and New York City, Bob, that they're supposed to do market value, but they can't change it. Only it can go up a little bit every year because there's limitations on the increase. So normally the assessed value is not what your property value is, just because there's a layers of what you can do and how much increases you can give to a homeowner over a five-year period.
Right. They just can't jump it up to the most
right.
recent sale.
Yes.
It would put a lot of people out of
mm-hmm.
out of pocket.
Right.
Out of a bank account. All right. So right now the assessed value and the appraised value are not the same.
Correct.
At least in the New York City area. Are there other areas, are you familiar with other areas where they are the same?
Well,
similar?
I think you find that more in the rural areas, what I've seen from my sometimes, not that often, but they actually have the assessor who goes out and has a property card on each house and knows if they have two fireplaces or one fireplace and a marble bathroom versus a tile bathroom. And they're usually pretty, you know, because they go in the houses. In the city of New York, the assessors cannot go into every house. They don't know. They can't have what's going on because there's so much difference in the numbers of houses that get sold and transferred over the years. So they just go by records that from the past, and if you put into the New York City Building Department to make any kind of renovations, they know from that.
Gotcha. And you are not an assessor. You are an appraiser.
Correct.
Okay. And so you arrive at the property now. You've done you've done some background research, done
right.
some looked at the records, and you arrive at the house. You measure, and you're required to get inside, correct?
Correct.
You can't do a drive-by and say it looks nice on the outside.
Right.
So what impact does the inside of the house have on your appraisal process?
Okay. On the our physical inspection should include the inside and outside because sometimes someone could fix up the house beautifully on the exterior and you go inside and hasn't been fixed in 50 years and vice versa. So the reason that we go inside is to get an idea of how the condition of the home is. Now we are not house inspectors. A lot of people think we're a house inspector, but that's not what we are.
Right,
we're there to judge the condition of the home, which is usually a fair, average, good, and very good or new. So we have four or five choices that we can make in determining the condition of the interior of the home and in comparing it to another property.
And within those categories, does neatness, cleanliness, organization play any role, or you have to look past whether or not the bed was made or the garbage taken out?
Right. We tend to look past that. We're more interested in the physical aspects of the home. So if they just put a brand new wood floor in and redid with sheetrock walls, dry walls along the ceilings and the walls and have hi-hats in the ceilings because the dog could have been running around and did something or they had some magazines, we're interested in the home because basically evaluation or real estate appraisal is if we have to sell this home, why are people going to buy it? What's the price based on that? So it's really we're looking at what we're selling once the people are out of there and the magazines are gone and the furniture is the four walls.
Gotcha. And what about some of the rooms? Do they have different values? Would bedrooms have more value than a kitchen or a bathroom with a number of bathrooms?
Well, we do not value rooms. We value the square footage of the home. But within that square footage are rooms. So and sometimes you could have a 2,000-square-foot home that could have 7 rooms, 9 rooms, 5 rooms, because someone may have taken out They had three-bedroom house on the second floor. They made it into one huge master suite or made it into two bedrooms. We do add on for bathroom adjustments. So if you have two baths and a normal home has one, we'll give you a credit for the second bathroom.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
And then you, is there any other observations or investigations you do before you leave the property?
Well, we look at the boiler, which gives you heat and or hot water, and we also look at the electric to see if it would require any upgrades or that everything seems to be that it's a stable environment on the interior and won't need any major rehab.
Okay.
It has to be what we call, we have to be functionally operational.
Okay. So you end up going back to, well, before that, is there anything that the homeowner or broker, real estate broker, does, should, can give you to assist you in coming up with a more positive appraisal?
There is.
Other than money, that is.
Right, yes. Well, as you mentioned before, sometimes some of the people come from different areas, whether it be Long Island, New Jersey, Westchester County, and they may not have the same information portals that you have available if a broker is selling a piece of property. So it is always advisable to come with a list and provide the appraiser with some comparable sales, which we may or may not have already, but it doesn't hurt.
All right. So you go back to your office armed with data you've collected before you went out to the field, the field information. What do you do at that point once you get back to your office?
Well, okay, naturally we'll sit down and we bring up a file up on the screen of our computer because all appraisals today are typed on a computer. And it's a form. It's a form appraisal, and what we'll start doing is start filling in the facts. It'll ask you what is the block and lot number or how many square feet does this subject property have in land, and then if it's a one-family, it'll tell us about the rooms on the first or second floor, meaning are there three rooms, are there four rooms. So you're kind of filling in a grid, shall we say, and giving some information about the house. Is it attached? Is it detached? Is it semi-attached? Does it have a full basement? Is it finished? Does it have a garage? Does it have a driveway? So we get a lot of these type of questions. What kind of heating does it have? And you fill in the blanks. And then the next page will be where it'll say to us, okay, you've told us about the subject property. We have this on the left-hand side. Now we need some comparable sales that you're going to use to determine what the estimate of market value would be. So that's what we start to fill in those columns now. Since we have the subject on the left, it has 2,000 square feet, it has 1,400 square feet of living area, it has seven rooms, three bedrooms, one bath. So now we take that grid and it goes across, meaning the comparable sales, we will fill in then column one, column two, and then column three with similar information because we're comparing it to the subject property to see where the similarities or dissimilarities evolve.
All right. But in doing that, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, you've made a visual inspection of the subject property.
Yes.
But now you're just looking at records and internet data.
Correct.
About others. So you couldn't say property number three had 12 bathrooms. And
we're going either with Bob, we're going either with public information or with broker information from the MLS system because we don't have the right to go into anyone's home.
Right.
So, and then we will pass by and take a picture of those properties just because you would want to show how they look in comparison to the subject property. So if our subject property hasn't been fixed and we have a comparable sale that we go there and we see that it sold for a good number, I'm saying, why did it sell for that good number? And I'll take a picture and I'll realize, hey, look at it. It's brand new on the outside. They put new stucco. They put new brick. They did new windows. So you can see in comparison to the other that there's a reason. So that's why you want a picture of the comparables so that someone can see your reasoning when you're putting it down in print.
And finally, so you come up with a figure and you present that to your client, the bank, who then presents it to the
homeowner,
the borrower. And I guess sometimes part of the time the parties are all happy that the appraisal came in around the contract price,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they're not happy when your appraisal comes in lower. So
right.
is there any appeal here or further explanation? Or
you do have the right. In other words, I try to know what's going on when I appraise something in a specific area. But, of course, somebody who lives or does in that area may have some information that I don't have. So if they put an appeal in and it is something that I did not know about, then I'm happy to consider it. But many times people will just, because they're looking for the end result, to be a good number that they might be seeking and it's really not there, they'll give you houses that are maybe 2 times bigger than your subject property or has much more land and it's naturally sold for more money, but they want you to consider that when you're doing your appraisal, which doesn't really have any jurisdiction for our subject property. So we'll consider whatever information you have and then make a decision as to whether, you know, it's viable or not viable to use, and we may use that for additional information.
And while in that narrow or limited situation, there could be some review, the homeowner or borrower doesn't have the right to tell the bank, hey, let's get another appraiser. It's one and done. Is that correct?
That's correct, unless they find some really egregious mistakes on the appraisal. That would necessarily make it that you need to do something with someone else.
Gotcha. Paul, what is this, you know, when people say, I don't know if I want to hire an appraiser, pay for an appraiser, although in a bank setting you do have to, but say in an estate setting or a divorce setting or something like that, people say, the local real estate brokers can give me an appraisal. What do they mean by that, and how viable are those opinions?
Well, we are trained in what we have an appraisal license versus a real estate broker has a real estate broker's license, which they can put an appraisal together, but it's only one of the things that they do. Usually what people would like is to have an unbiased opinion, so they would rather go to an appraiser who's a licensed appraiser, that this is what they do and they have a licensed jurisdiction on doing appraisal work and you have education based on that. So normally people will say, we respect the broker's opinion, but we want a licensed professional that this is what they do to hang our hat on.
Yes. And that's you and your company.
Correct.
And we have come to the end of our half hour, and you've been very informative in telling us about a process that not too many people understand, because all they hear is that there's an appraisal being done and a document is generated about 2 or 3 weeks later, and they really don't appreciate how it got there. But you've explained how it starts, the middle, the beginning, and the end. And for that, we appreciate you explaining all of that.
Thank you.
Paul, we hope to have you on soon. Maybe we'll have
sure.
other appraisal questions for you.
Perfect.
So thank you for
thank
your
you.
Explanation and coming on the show.
Goodbye now.
Perfect. Thanks, Paul. Good night.
Bye-bye.